Friends, remain standing, and if you've got a Bible, turn with me in the Old Testament to the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm, maybe you don't even need to turn there. You may know it in some version or another. Psalm 23, if you know it, say it with me, although I've got the New International Version, and there's a good chance if you have it memorized, it's the King James, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Gracious God, we know that we cannot live by bread alone. We live by every word that comes to us from Your mouth. So open today our ears, our minds, and our hearts that we could receive and live in Your living Word, that we would be the body of Christ in the world. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. You can take a seat. Y'all, I have a confession on this Sunday morning. I love maps. That's a good confession. That's an easy I love maps. Whether it's Google Maps, the app on my phone that I use to tell me how to go, well, almost everywhere, even the places I already know how to go, I like to pull up the app just to see if I can get there more quickly, a different way. And I even, y'all, downtown, you're poking around in bookstores, you can find historic maps. You know that? Historic maps that tell the story of Savannah or other parts of the region. You know, I'm so old. I even love paper maps, and I dug this out of my car. I've probably carried this for 15 years. I think it's probably been 5 since I've ever used it. But just in case, you know, the service goes out, I've got a map of the state of Georgia right here. I can get anywhere that needs to be got within the state of Georgia, okay? And I turn and look. I've never used this, but right here on the back, there's an inset, and there is our beautiful, there's Savannah right there. And it takes me, if I had to get to the landings, I'd be on my own because that's not included. But everywhere else, all the rest of you are right here. All the rest of you are right here. I love maps. Now maps are never a substitute for experience, right? You could get so caught up in the map that you lose the reality. Don't ever let a map become a substitute for a real experience. But a map is this. A map can tell you where you are. It can tell you about location. But the primary reason I'm interested in a map, I've already given it away. The primary reason I'm ever interested in a map is because of movement. It's because of movement. The map helps me see where I want to go and perhaps how I want to get there. The map ultimately is about movement. It's a sign of movement. If you get the map out, it's a reminder that we are going somewhere. In this reading of Psalm 23, did you notice how much movement... How much movement is going on in that psalm? You have your favorite lines, I bet, from that psalm. This is a, you know, for better or for worse, the 23rd psalm we often think of as the funeral psalm. How many of you think is Psalm 23? That's the funeral. And that's okay. That's really good because it's often at moments like that when we're sort of in a time of loss or confusion that we need the reminder that we're not holding all of life ourselves, that we are being held. But bigger than just being held, y'all, we're being moved. We're being moved in a direction. The 23rd Psalm, it may be the favorite funeral psalm, but the longer I live with it, the 23rd Psalm, y'all, is a psalm for living and not for dying. It is a psalm that is a comfort in loss, But friends, here in the 23rd Psalm, courage for living. Courage for living. Because in the 23rd Psalm, we have this reminder. We have this reminder that our loss is never a cul-de-sac. And maybe somebody particularly needs to hear this today. That our loss or our pain or our disappointment, it's not the end of a journey. We may slow down there for a little while, but Psalm 23 is a creed of sorts. It's a confession that God continues to move us and to move with us into the future. Psalm 23 is a declaration of courage. Did you notice how much movement there is in the 23rd Psalm? He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's movement, friends. That implies that I don't want to lay down anywhere and someone has to help me see my need. That is movement. He leads me beside quiet waters. He guides me along the right paths, even though I walk through the darkest valley. And there at the end, while I'm moving along, surely I look over my shoulder and goodness and love, God's goodness and His love. I may see Him in front of me, but I take a glance over my shoulder and what's behind me too? His goodness and His love. That means we must be moving together. Psalm 23, the prescript at the top tells us that this is one of the Psalms attributed to David. David, the author, king of Israel around 1000 BC, that's over 3,000 years ago. David, before he was king, before he was shepherding people, he was actually shepherding sheep. The Bible tells us one of the first places we meet David, he was so busy and apparently so effective out in the fields tending the sheep that his dad, not only did his dad forget that the sheep even needed caring for, so great did he trust David, his dad actually just forgot David existed for a minute there. When the prophet came to visit and say, hey, bring all your sons here because I want to see all your sons and pronounce a blessing. Jesse, David's father, lined them all up. And the prophet said, well, don't you have one more? And Jesse said, oh yeah, by the way, oh yeah, I forgot about him. He's out in the fields. He's tending the sheep. Y'all, on the first Sunday of February, we had a special guest speaker for one of our Sunday morning Bible study groups. We have three Sunday morning groups here at Good Shepherd Savannah, in addition to others during the week. But in one of those Sunday morning groups, we had Professor Harry Cesare. He's an engineering professor at Georgia Southern, but he wasn't here to talk to us about mechanical engineering. He was raised as a shepherd in a Kurdish family in southeastern Turkey. He told us, he brought us some stories about his life as a young person, even through the 80s and the 90s. Even today, his brother, he's here teaching engineering in the United States, his brother picked up the family flock, literally, and is still shepherding in southeastern Turkey. And they shepherd today almost as they have for over a century. A big part of shepherding, we learned, a big part of shepherding even today is movement. Knowing when and how to move the sheep from the right place to the next place. Half of the year they spend in the mountains where the grass is wonderful from the spring to the early fall. And then before winter, they move down into the valley again where they can be sheltered from the bad weather of the year. He told us as a boy, he would miss, some of you might like this, or your kids would, he would miss the first few months and the last few months of every school year because the shepherding pattern, he had to leave and go up in the mountain and then come back. And so he would miss half the school year. For a shepherd, movement is at the heart of being a shepherd. Movement, it appears to us from Psalm 23, movement is at the heart of what it means for God to be our good shepherd. When David begins the psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. He is equating something of God's character with the nature of one who cares for others. So if Jesus, who self-identified as the good shepherd, Jesus in John chapter 10 said, "I am the good shepherd," he's still a shepherd concerned with leading us, with moving us, with sending us in the right direction, with providing for us food for our growth and our equipping, and also protecting us in providing safety for us. Y'all, for a moment, as we prepare today to come to the communion table, not my table or the Good Shepherd Savannah table, but the Lord's table, it's a place where you can receive the promise of the Good Shepherd's provision and the Good Shepherd's protection. Think about this. Even to come to the table, that is a sign of movement, of God's movement in Christ coming to us, giving His life as an atonement for sin, and then inviting us to take the step of faith to come and receive that provision and that protection from Him. So I'd invite you this morning to check out your map. Check out your map. Where are you standing? And where is God moving? And how is God inviting you to move with Him? It's probably not geographical, but I'll ask you these questions, and these questions will serve as our confession and our self-examination as we come to the communion table today. Question one, today, the Sunday after Easter, do you have a sense that you may be moving away from God? God's protection, God's leading is taking you in one direction, and yet you find something on the inside that is resisting that, that you want to move in another direction. That would not be a surprise. The Bible is dramatically honest about human nature. The Bible even compares us not to shepherds, but to sheep. David, in another psalm, Psalm 119, verse 176, he says, "O God, I have strayed just like a lost sheep." The prophet Isaiah says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way." Even here in the Easter season, our Easter stories, our Holy Week stories, are full of notorious examples of persons who, like sheep, have gone astray. Think about poor old Judas. Well, whatever was his motive, some scholars say he was trying to force Jesus' hand and get Jesus to reveal himself as the Savior of the world. Whatever was Judas' motivation, the end of the story is not a good one. Judas chose to walk his own way. And as Paul writes later in Romans 6:23, we learn that the wages of sin is death. So friends, I'll give you a warning this morning. If you are walking away from God, the Bible is very clear that the wages of sin is death. The prophet Ezekiel says, if the watchman sees the sword, that's the sign of judgment. If the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes someone's life, that person's life will be taken because of their sin, but I will hold the watchman accountable for their blood. Son of man, I've made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. The watchman, the prophet, brought a warning to say, don't continue in the wrong direction. There is an opportunity even now to trust in the Lord and to follow Him, to look for the God who comes after you. But the thing I also see in the Scripture is this. You'll have to work hard. You can outpace God. You can outrun Him. But you'll have to work hard to do that. Because God is intent on bringing you into the fold. Think about this. The 23rd Psalm is written by people who have their own history of walking away from God, despite His goodness, despite His patience. Remember, Psalm 23 comes to us out of Israel. They wandered 40 years in the wilderness trying to have their own way. And yet God, even in their walking away, proved himself faithful. Do you know the story of the prophet Jonah? Maybe you only remember him because of that giant fish. The prophet Jonah was called to speak to a people. He ran away, literally in the opposite direction. And God sent the giant whale, the giant fish, not to punish Jonah, but to save him, to rescue him, and bring him to repentance, and bring him to wholeness of life. Y'all, even here a week after the resurrection, I like the ending to Luke's gospel. Maybe you know this story. If you don't, go read it yourself. Luke chapter 24. Luke records this account of two of Jesus' disciples who, in the disappointment of the crucifixion, they had not yet heard the news or believed the news of the resurrection. The Bible tells us that these two disciples of Jesus are doing what? They are walking away from Jerusalem. You get that? They're walking away. The last place that they saw Jesus, that they knew Jesus, the place where all the other disciples are huddled together for many reasons, these two disciples, they are walking away. They're disappointed. They are psychologically devastated. That they may be the last people who would be open to a fresh word from Jesus. And yet, where does Jesus appear? Where does Jesus appear? In that moment, these folks are walking away from God, and Jesus shows up and decides he'll walk with them a little bit. He'll teach them a Sunday school lesson. He'll walk with them from Genesis through the prophets and all the way through and say, oh yeah, did you like that story about the manna in the wilderness, that provision? That was me. Do you like that story about the water coming from the rock? Yeah, that was me too. How about that story about the tabernacle and God's presence dwelling with his people? Oh yeah, that was me. What a lesson all through the Bible. As people are walking away from God, he is doing his dead level best to bring them back to him. After all, this is the same Jesus who told a story multiple times of the kind of good shepherd who would have 99 sheep well provided for, well protected in the fold. The kind of good shepherd who would go and pursue the one who was lost. It is in God's very nature. Even if you are trying to walk away from him, it's in God's nature to come after you. You'll only prolong your sorrow if you don't let him soften your heart and turn back and walk with him. So maybe you are walking away from God. I hope, number two, that you're walking toward God or with God. That's the primary image we get here in the 23rd Psalm, that he leads me beside quiet waters and that I go along with him, that he guides me in paths of righteousness and that I'm willing to walk alongside him. Check the map again, friends. Check the cycles of your current life. Are you walking with God? I was so thrilled. In some ways, it may not have been for you, in some ways, last Sunday, Easter Sunday, it was the easiest Sunday ever. Why? Because like 70 of you were here at like 7 a.m. almost. There were people here, Good Shepherd Savannah people. You were here before I was last Sunday. Maybe not before Sam was. I think Sam opened the whole building up or something. I think Blake Chambers isn't here. He's traveling this week. But I think Blake was making coffee at like 5:45 or something like that. The coffee was flowing. Y'all, it took an army up here Saturday getting ready. It took an army at 7 o'clock, 8:50, by 8:15. Y'all, half this church was full. I threatened to go ahead and preach once so they could go home and make room for more. I say all that to say we'll brag about numbers. We had almost 400 people, 390 people here last week. And that like a year ago this month, we were nothing. We were dreams, we were ideas, we were hopes. But y'all, you walked with God. You walked with God. And as we say, this is not an end, but a beginning. It's only possible, it is only explainable by saying we walk with God. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for those, not just on Easter Sunday. I'm thankful for those who give and who serve to walk with God every single week at His pace, walking in His grace. And notice this, Psalm 23, it really doesn't seem to matter that the destination is not so important as it is that you're walking with God all along the way. And there's some times where the movement is clear along these right paths. And there's some times that the movement is slower paced or even comes to a standstill. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's a time of refreshing, a time of renewal, a time of rest. There are seasons of busyness and seasons of rest where you just have to stop and get a long drink of water before you move on to the next ground, to the next pasture land. But everything the psalmist says, he says with confidence, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." I love that. I love the positive statement, "The Lord is my shepherd," and then the pairing of it with a negative, "I lack nothing." And because that's a lack is a negative word and nothing is a negative word, so two negatives make a positive, right? Is that the way that works? He could have said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything." I think some prosperity preacher would have gotten on that really quick. But it's the opposite, and it's so simple. I don't always go and dig through the Hebrew, but it's like two words. That whole thing, and it's like four words. "The Lord, shepherd, not lack." It's just so stark and so confident. It's so stark and it's so confident, and it contradicts almost everything else we experience in the world and in our lives. And so I almost want to say it over and over again. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." And it may be that it's Jesus Himself, the Good Shepherd. It may be that it's Jesus Himself who is the only one who's experienced this completely and in totality. Throughout His life, His miracles. You wonder why Jesus could give us feed 5,000 people out of a few loaves of bread. It's because He was plugged into the source of all provision. He knew no sheep would ever go hungry. And it flowed through Him. You know why He was willing to go to the cross? Because He was connected to the author of all life, and He trusted completely that life, if offered to God, would be held and resurrected. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." It's a statement of love. It's a statement of love and of trust in the place of fear. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." When we say and we believe the Lord is my shepherd, we can move with Him wherever He leads because we trust in His character. We trust in the truth of His nature. Final question, final map check. Are you walking away from God? Are you walking with God? Do you think you may just be standing still? Even the worst thing that the 23rd Psalm says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley," the traditional translation says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," the verb there is still a moving verb. It's walk. It's not run. You can't often hurry past those most fearful places. But the other implication is clear. You don't camp out there forever. With the Good Shepherd, we walk at His pace. I had a friend, if we were in some things together, we were working along, I would say we wouldn't be quite in agreement. And I'd say, "I think we're on the right track." And what she would always say is, "You can be on the right track and still be hit by a train." Especially if you're standing still. Right? Because the train, that's where things move. You want to be on the right track, but still moving. Norman Vincent Peale, preacher of the early part of the 20th century. Peale said, in dealing with fear, the best question you can say, if you're fearful of something, if you're afraid of a possibility, the clearest way to deal with that is to say, do this like thought experiment and say, well, what if that thing I fear the most, what if it happened, what now? What if that happened, what now? Well, the Lord will still be our shepherd. We'll still take the next step. We'll still say that goodness and love will follow us all the days of our lives, and we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I'll invite you on this Sunday morning, I'll invite you to take the next step. If you're walking in the wrong direction, turn and come to the table. He has prepared a table for you. The psalmist says it's in the presence of your enemies. That means he hasn't settled everything. He hasn't answered every question. He hasn't eliminated every doubt. But he's feeding you anyway. He is nourishing you anyway. He's giving you food so you can continue to take the trip. Keep moving. Check the map. Where are you moving? Where is the good shepherd inviting you to move? Maybe today is the time, it's the quiet Sunday, the Sunday after Easter, the crowds are somewhere. But maybe today is the day for you to answer this question. Have you trusted him as Lord and Savior? Is he still distant from you? Walk toward him with joy and trust him. Maybe you'd consider your baptism. I've had some folks talk to me recently about baptism. We've declared that April 28th, the last Sunday of this month, will be a Sunday for renewing baptism or celebrating baptism. We could do that here in the sanctuary. We can sprinkle. We can fill up the baptistry there. Or I check the tide charts. High tide is around noon that day, so we'll go right here. We'll go right down here after the group's hour, and we can do it right in the Skidaway River. All the options, friends, if God's inviting you to take the next step of trusting him. Maybe your next step is to put your feet down. There are handfuls of us here who are working and serving, but you've never taken the step to become a member of Good Shepherd Savannah. And you believe here and you belong here and you're working hard here. But let's do we put our feet down and say we're walking here together? I love the C.S. Lewis Narnia books, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and all those six other volumes that come along with that. The Last Battle is the name of the last book in that series. At the end of The Last Battle, the plot breaks towards eternity. And you kind of get a vision of heaven, the new heavens and the new earth unfolding at the end of time. And the question becomes, well, what next? There's a character at the end that issues this invitation. Come further up and come further in. I love that image. Come further up and come further in. That's a picture of life with Jesus, life with the Good Shepherd. There is always a place of growth and of movement with him and in him. So friends, check your map. Where are you? And today, will you come? Will you come to his table? Amen.